How did this twin phenomenon, diversity in somatic features and conformity to the host nation, come about? The geneticist's obvious answer is through miscegenation combined with selective pressures. This, writes Fishberg, is indeed the crucial point in the anthropology of the Jews. Are they of pure race, modified more or less by environmental influences, or are they a religious sect composed of racial elements acquired by proselytism and intermarriage during their migration in various parts of the world? And he leaves his readers in no doubt about the answer, quote, "Beginning with biblical evidence and traditions, it appears that even in the beginning of the formation of the tribe of Israel, they were already composed of various racial elements. We find in Asia Minor, Syria, and Palestine at that time many races, the Amorites, who were blondes, dolichocephalic, and tall, the Hittites, a dark-complexioned race, probably of Mongoloid type, the Cushites, a Negroid race, and many others. With all these, the ancient Hebrews intermarried, as can be seen in many passages in the Bible." End quote. The prophets may thunder against marrying daughters of a strange god, yet the promiscuous Israelites were not deterred, and their leaders were foremost in giving a bad example. Even the first patriarch, Abraham, cohabited with Hagar, an Egyptian. Joseph married Asenath, who was not only Egyptian, but the daughter of a priest. Moses married a Midianite, Zipporah. Samson, the Jewish hero, was a Philistine. King David's mother was a Moabite, and he married a princess of Geshur. As for King Solomon, whose mother was a Hittite, he loved many strange women, including the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. And so the Chronique Scandaleuse goes on. The Bible also makes it clear that the royal example was imitated by many, high and low. Besides, the biblical prohibition of marrying Gentiles exempted female captives in times of war, and there was no shortage of them. The Babylonian exile did not improve racial purity. Even members of priestly families married Gentile women. In short, at the beginning of the diaspora, the Israelites were already a thoroughly hybridized race. So, of course, were most historic nations, and the point would not need stressing if it were not for the persistent myth of the biblical tribe having preserved its racial purity throughout the ages. Another important source of interbreeding were the vast numbers of people of the most varied races converted to Judaism. Witness to the proselytizing zeal of the Jews of earlier times are the black-skinned Falasha of Abyssinia, the Chinese Jews of Kaifeng, who look like Chinese, the Yemenite Jews with their dark olive complexion, the Jewish Berber tribes of the Sahara who look like Tuaregs, and so on, down to our prime example, the Khazars. Nearer home, Jewish proselytizing reached its peak in the Roman Empire between the fall of the Jewish state and the rise of Christianity. Many patrician families in Italy were converted, but also the royal family which ruled the province of Adiabene. Philo speaks of numerous converts in Greece. Flavius Josephus relates that a large proportion of the population of Antioch was Judaized. St. Paul met with proselytes on his travels more or less everywhere from Athens to Asia Minor. The fervor of proselytism, the Jewish historian Reinach wrote, quote, was indeed one of the most distinctive traits of Judaism during the Greco-Roman epoch, a trait which it never possessed in the same degree either before or since. It cannot be doubted that Judaism in this way made numerous converts during two or three centuries. The enormous growth of the Jewish nation in Egypt, Cyprus, and Cyrene cannot be accounted for without supposing an abundant infusion of Gentile blood. Proselytism swayed alike the upper and the lower classes of society. End quote. The rise of Christianity slowed down the rate of miscegenation, and the ghetto put a temporary end to it. But before the ghetto rules were strictly enforced in the 16th century, the process still went on. This is shown by the ever-repeated ecclesiastic interdictions of mixed marriages, for example, by the Council of Toledo, 589, the Council of Rome, 743, the First and Second Lateran Councils, 1123 and 1139, or the Edict of King Ladislav II of Hungary in 1092. That all these prohibitions were only partly effective is shown, for instance, by the report of the Hungarian Archbishop Robert von Grain to the Pope in AD 1229, complaining that many Christian women are married to Jews, and that within a few years, many thousands of Christians were lost in this way to the Church. The only effective bar were the ghetto walls. When these crumbled, intermarriages started again. Their rate accelerated to such an extent that in Germany between 1921 and 1925, out of every 100 marriages involving Jews, 42 were mixed. As for the Sephardi, or so-called true Jews, their sojourn in Spain for more than a millennium left its indelible mark both on themselves and on their hosts. As Arnold Toynbee wrote, quote, "There is every reason to believe that in Spain and Portugal today there is a strong tincture of the blood of these Jewish converts in Iberian veins, especially in the upper and middle classes. Yet the most acute psychoanalyst would find it difficult, if samples of living upper and middle class Spanish and Portuguese were presented to him, to detect who had Jewish ancestors." End quote. The process worked both ways. After the massacres of 1391 and 1411, which swept the peninsula, over 100,000 Jews at a moderate estimate accepted baptism. But a considerable proportion of them continued to practice Judaism in secret. These crypto-Jews, the Marranos, prospered, rose to high positions at court and in the ecclesiastical hierarchy, and intermarried with the aristocracy. After the expulsion of all unrepentant Jews from Spain in 1492 and Portugal in 1497, the Marranos were regarded with increasing suspicion. Many were burned by the Inquisition. The majority emigrated in the 16th century to the countries around the Mediterranean, to Holland, England, and France. Once in safety, they openly reverted to their faith and, together with the 1492-1497 expellees, founded the new Sephardic communities in these countries. Thus, Toynbee's remark about the hybrid ancestry of the upper strata of society in Spain also applies, mutatis mutandis, to the Sephardic communities of Western Europe. Spinoza's parents were Portuguese Marranos, who emigrated to Amsterdam. The old Jewish families of England, who arrived here long before the 19th to 20th century influx from the East, the Montefiores, Lusadas, Montagues, Avidors, Sutros, Sassoons, etc., all came out of the Iberian mixing bowl and can claim no purer racial origin than the Ashkenazis, or the Jews named Davis, Harris, Phillips, or Hart. One distressingly recurrent type of event was miscegenation by rape. That, too, has a long history starting in Palestine. We are told, for example, that a certain Judah ben Ezekiel opposed his son marrying a woman who was not of the seed of Abraham, whereupon his friend Ula remarked, quote, "How do we know for certain that we ourselves are not descended from the heathens who violated the maidens of Zion at the siege of Jerusalem?" End quote. Rape and loot, the amount of the latter often fixed in advance, was considered a natural right of a conquering army. There is an ancient tradition recorded by Gratz which attributes the origin of the earliest Jewish settlements in Germany to an episode reminiscent of the rape of the Sabine women. According to this tradition, a German unit, the Vangioni, who fought with the Roman legions in Palestine, quote, "had chosen from the vast horde of Jewish prisoners the most beautiful women, had brought them back to their stations on the shores of the Rhine and the Main, and had compelled them to minister to the satisfaction of their desires. The children thus begotten of Jewish and German parents were brought up by their mothers in the Jewish faith, their fathers not troubling themselves about them. It is these children who are said to have been the founders of the first Jewish communities between Worms and Mayence." End quote. In Eastern Europe, rape was even more common. To quote Fishberg again, quote, "Such violent infusion of Gentile blood into the veins of the flock of Israel has been especially frequent in Slavonic countries. One of the favorite methods of the Cossacks to wring out money from the Jews was to take a large number of prisoners, knowing well that the Jews would ransom them. That the women thus ransomed were violated by these semi-savage tribes goes without saying. In fact, the Council of the Four Lands, at its session in the winter of 1650, had to take cognizance of the poor women and children born to them from Cossack husbands during captivity, and thus restore order in the family and social life of the Jews. Similar outrages were again perpetrated on Jewish women in Russia during the massacres in 1903 to 1905. End quote.